RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, John Fanta coming up in about 20 minutes, NBC Sports, Cleveland's own. He has fired Kevin Stefanski as much as I've fired Kevin Stefanski. We'll see what the Pittsburgh win did. And don't ever sleep on a fan of flip-flop.
He's naturally pro-Stefanski.
That
and
is.
And so I think the Fanta flip-flop might be on
you
the table.
You think it's the Catholic roots for both of them? Those just good Catholic boys?
I don't think that's it. There's a lot of Catholics that are head coaches. It'd be weird if that was like if it's like I only root for Catholics. Well, I'm sure there are people that feel that way.
I feel like Fan is just a devout man of faith. I could understand if that gave him a little, even if Kevin was like a Protestant, he'd be like, well, he's a man of faith. I like that.
Yeah. Oh no, some people do for sure. No. But you said he fired him as much as anybody, and he hasn't, though. Fanta only fired him, like, twice, and that was very reluctantly.
That's fair.
Very
I fired
reluctantly.
Him at least three times in the last 6 weeks.
Before the season got underway, we got in, basically, the biggest fights John and I have gotten into in debating who's a better coach between Stefanski and Vogt.
Yeah.
And he was hell-bent on the idea that I needed to be drug tested for thinking it was Vogt.
Yeah, that's, by the way, we don't drug test in radio, because there'd be no radio.
There'd be no radio.
Guys, you realize that
I would pass
if we go all
that's
the way
I'm straight edge at this point.
The Peterlin pass.
Basically CM Punk.
I basically am.
If we go all the way back to 1980 and say, all right, going forward, no drugs allowed, would have been off the air by 3 months later.
Or it would have been like me and Jeff Phelps hosting together.
you'd be like -9 or -10 at that point. I was talking about going back to the roots of when, well, I guess it would be the 70s.
I'd just be Jeff Solo until then.
Enjoy that. I think that would be a lot
just
of
waiting,
fun.
Just waiting for me to be born and be as straight edge as I am to then be on the mic with him.
So,
look at Nick. He's asleep.
It's the
again.
Prophecy of Peterlin. There will be a child born in Chicago in the year 1989s. 89, right?
89, yeah.
In 1989. And he will be able to supersede Jeff Phelps as the king of clean sports talk.
Someone would call me the prince that was promised.
That's true.
Yeah.
And not you'd be the person. And maybe Dr. Peterlin.
Yeah, and there
but
we go.
That's two people. That's some.
That is.
Now, a criticism that you and I got yesterday from our friend Adam and Rocky River is that we were overrating what we think Shador could be. And you and I both, in our responses to him off air, we didn't say what he could be.
No.
And I think it's been interesting because the reason why I bring this up is not to toss our buddy under the bus. It's actually to point out that that's been a critique that we got yesterday and we've certainly gotten since Shador's, gotten started. Because previously you were the Shador guy and I was the, dear God, I don't want to watch Dylan Gabriel guy. But Shador has won me over in leaps and bounds with how he plays, the heart, the development that we're seeing. I really like the kid. I even if it's not here, I want the best for him because I like what I've seen through six starts. But neither of us have kind of put a name on it. Neither of us have said we think he's a top 10 quarterback at his best 2 years from now, or he's a top 15 quarterback. And I think that's what's interesting. Like, to me, that is when somebody's maybe struggling with what they think of Shador, and maybe they're more negative on Shador than we are. They go, you're overvaluing him, even though neither you or I or most Shador fans that I've heard, meaning like Browns fans that like Shador, not Shador fans that, Colorado and going all the way back, but fans that have watched him in these six games, I haven't heard one person put a ceiling on him or a floor on him.
Yeah, well, what's tough about this is right now, if you try to put ceilings on people and you make comparatives and you use names the way that you wanted to do here, It almost becomes insulting in many ways because everyone, they're like, so a lot of the top 10 quarterbacks or a lot of the top 15 quarterbacks right now, sound like insults when they're not.
Yeah.
Sam Darnold's a top 10 quarterback. If I said he's got the ceiling of Sam Darnold, people would look at me like I've just insulted the guy to the high heavens. Yeah. Meanwhile, there are all sorts of quarterbacks in that like 16 to 12 range that have really strong names. If you just go by like passer rating for this year, for instance, that's where Justin Herbert lives. That's where all sorts of different guys live right now. But I don't look at Justin Herbert as the 13th or 14th best quarterback in the sport.
Yeah, and I think it also gets tricky because I think the beauty of drafting a quarterback, number one or number two, is hypothetically he could be Joe Burrow. If I guaranteed you he was going to be Jared Goff, you wouldn't want him. You just wouldn't.
Well, Lions fans right now aren't even sure if they want Jared Goff at this point.
The Rams fans 5 years ago didn't want Jared Goff anymore. And by the way, you'd be lucky to have Jared Goff as a starting quarterback.
But Jit Convo on Detroit Sports Talk Radio yesterday, them trying to get rid of Jared Goff.
You just wouldn't sign up for it if it was with the number one or number two pick. So I thought it was interesting. I reached out to, by the way, Daryl was one of the people that I talked to earlier today. I reached out to a few people and just like, okay, what's the best case scenario for Shador? Like, by the end of next year, by the end of 2 years from now, if you roll forward with Shador in 2026 and you get the talent around him, you keep the coaching around him, and he excels, who is he? There were some laughably bad ones.
Were they just talking 2026, or were they talking...
Like, long-term. Like long-term, okay. What's this ramp up?
Okay.
Like, let's say over the next 2 years, right? So 2026 is success. That leads to 2027. So if we ramp this thing up, who do we start to see come out? And I thought it was funny. I did hear a Baker Mayfield... which we've made the cult of personality comparisons between the two before. I also think both guys were thought to be elite with accuracy coming out of college as their elite tools, and having kind of that cult of personality thing that I think some teams love and some teams don't. I heard Lamar Jackson, like a poor man's Lamar Jackson, and I sent a response, is all I'll say. I sent a very, like, snarky response.
Their games are just nothing alike, which also makes this hard, too, because are we projecting out for, are they a top 15 quarterback? Are they a top 10 quarterback? But also then, does the game have to match, too?
I think it helps if the game matches, if you're talking about singular traits. But I think we're really talking about, like, what range of quarterback. And so this year's a tough one because one quarterback's about to get benched and the other's old as hell and having just kind of a momentary resurgency. I think if we talk career-wise, 3 years from now, everything's gone right with Shador.
Okay.
I think he's somewhere in between Kirk Cousins and Geno Smith. Like, I think he is a really solid quarterback. I don't know you'll ever say he's a top seven or top eight quarterback, but I think he's consistently somewhere between 8 and 14. And I think you can win with that. I think you can win a playoff game or two on any given year with that. By the way, that's where Baker is.
And when you say it, it sounds like an insult, but that's not an insult. You know, like the name I keep going back to in this, and I just keep thinking about it, and it's going to sound insulting to people. This to me is a compliment, though. I don't think of this as an insult, but I think Trevor Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
And I think of the type of guy that he's going to have all sorts of success when he's on a team that not only does he have the right head coach, but he also has some of the right skill position players. And Trevor Lawrence this year has won double-digit games. Trevor Lawrence this year is thrown for nearly 4,000 yards, has a very high positive touchdown-interception ratio. Like, there's so much you can do with Trevor Lawrence from this season that I think works in many ways. But people hear that, they just think insult.
Yeah. And guys, this is going to be tough
It's not Josh Allen.
This will be tough for the hardcore Shador fans going back to Colorado to hear, because like I think it was Moni on Twitter saying Joe Burrow. Okay, Joe Burrow is consistently thought of as one of the four best quarterbacks in the NFL. Nobody knows whether he can or can't get to that. It's just if anyone thought he could be Joe Burrow, he would have been the number one or number two pick in this draft.
Well, remember, I think people go to that, especially people that have been with him since Colorado, because coming out of the draft, the two comps he kept getting, and if you're thinking glowingly of Shador and was really trying to put on the nice glasses for him, it was Joe Burrow and it was Jordan Love. Mm-hmm. Like, as far as his game matching up with other people's
game.
Don't
hate the Jordan Love one, although he doesn't have the rocket that Jordan has. That dude's got a cannon.
And so that's kind of where I kind of fall on that, too, is it's like Jordan's got a stronger arm, but that was part of it, is that the idea that he plays so much between, you know, 10 to 25. But even with Jordan Love, you want to have that discussion. If you're in the area of Jordan Love, that's a great area to be in. That's not only is that not an insult, that's a compliment.
So I think it's important that we kind of put those names on it, though, because again, like, I think so much of the reason why the Shador conversation can be tedious is that everybody's just saying something they're not. right? Oh, you're saying he's the greatest quarterback ever. You're saying he's the worst quarterback ever. And again, I think when we get to the reality of that, that's probably 15% of people on most sides.
I mean, after
I think there's 70% of people who are like, well, I like the Browns. I think Shador's done some good stuff. What can we go from there?
After year one, how many quarterbacks even get to put themselves up into a category of the Josh Allen top five anyway?
I mean, they only do because they were drafted with a number one or number two pick.
I mean, how
it's based off draft position, not what you've actually done.
Drake May, we can have a discussion, and we will, in the Peterlin Pass about who's going to win league MVP and if he should be in that conversation. Even if he wins league MVP this year, there's enough people that still won't put him in top five.
Yeah. No, exactly.
I mean, he's knocking on the doorstep of it.
Without a playoff win? Yeah.
No, and there's a real chance they draw Buffalo, by the way, and are one and done this postseason. There's a real chance that happens. So I think there's so many layers to this type of conversation of what you can and cannot become. But I'd say any quarterback after year one, if you're saying they're top five, you probably need to be tested, as we talked about.
Again, I just think it's important that if you're going to talk about Shador, and if you're going to talk about what you like about Shador or what you think he can be, I think it's important to actually like put the name on it, because I think that should derive your expectations, right? Or that should drive your expectations. So, like, if you give Shador number one wide receiver a decent, to me, I think the middle of the line is going to be fine. I think you need really good tackles. If you do just that, I think next year you're talking about a team that's going to be competitive somewhere between 7 and 10 teams.
I think so, too. And what's interesting is I think we're going to have a lot of these conversations in the offseason, by the way. I think it's going to be something that we're thinking a lot about. I think right now, why a lot of people that are in Shador's camp and people that like Shador a lot, like myself, I think why we're not doing this right now is that we're still scratching and clawing.
Yeah.
You know, this still feels like a fight, and we're in the middle of this fight right now. And so I think for myself, I personally – I'm taking everything with him basically one game at a time, and that's just how I have to approach this, because with Shador, as we've seen, nothing is ever guaranteed with him. It just isn't, and he's got to continue to earn everything that he's got the way that he's done it his whole entire life, and it's like he just has to knock down those doors one after another, but even in this quarterback battle for 2026, there's still no guarantee that he ends up being the guy. I'd love to say that he is, but the way the Browns operate and the way some of these people around the Browns have operated, after watching how it went last year, I can't live with the idea that he's guaranteed that.
So maybe this is my way of thinking of putting those names on it. One, as of right now, I think this is a one quarterback draft. I'm going to go on until either Moore or Simpson, or if there's somebody else that is contemplating going out that we don't know about. I think it's Fernando Mendoza, and you'll find out. I don't think you're getting Fernando Mendoza. I just don't. And I don't think it makes sense with where you are roster-wise to trade up for him, because I don't think he is Joe Burrow. I don't think he is Josh Allen. I think he's Jared Goff. Fine. Like, you can win a lot of games with Jared Goff. I'm just not trading up for Jared Goff. So if that's off the table, and as of right now, it feels like that's farther off the table than on the table, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Then it's really Shador versus Geno Smith. It's Shador versus Kirk Cousins. It's Shador versus Kyler Murray. And that's why I think it's so. Like, guys, would I rather have Kirk Cousins today or a guy that I can grow into your version of Kirk Cousins? I'll take the guy you can grow into something. Because Kirk Cousins is going to be here for a small amount of time.
Well, it's a year and he's gone.
Be Kirk Cousins, and then peace out, and you're going to be right back looking for a quarterback. Same thing with Geno Smith. Whereas with Shador, even if he is Geno or Kirk, well, you can build over time and win a lot of football games in that time before you get to a point where you have to say, we need our Mahomes, we need our Josh Allen, we need our
right.
Joe Burrow.
Yeah, I'm just not interested in the retreads. I want to see what Shador has, but that again, this goes down to the idea that maybe we'll do more of this in the offseason, but for right now, I'm just scratching and clawing, and we're just trying to fight every day.
I said Geno Smith. I said Kirk Cousins, somewhere in between there. JP saying Trevor Lawrence. When we put a name on it, right, what's the best-case scenario for Shador with the Browns going forward if they stick with him at quarterback in 2026 and 2027? John Fanta answers that question in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Joe Bitonio, Browns guard for now. That sounded very personal. I just meant that he might be retiring. Thank you very much. Talking about where Shedeur Sanders has evolved since taking over as starter. And I know that Shedeur fans, the supporters, don't want to hear this because they feel like Shedeur was already this guy and he just needed experience. And I get that. The things that Joel's talking about there are the reasons why the Browns claim they didn't give Shedeur a chance earlier in the season and in camp and everything. And I also think it happens to be the thing that, whether it's Stefanski or the next head coach, I think the next head coach is going to watch Shedeur on film and go, oh, he's doing the thing we said he wasn't ready to do, or at least he's close to that. I can get him where he needs to go.
I mean, I hope the next head coach says that. The idea that he's getting better, I mean, we can't discount that or discredit that. He is getting better. But also, I don't know, when I hear Joe Bitonio talk about it, there is some sense of, like, yeah, this is what you'd expect out of a lot of guys. We just haven't seen it lately. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of guys they throw out there. Like, Dylan Gabriel, I didn't think was getting better at some of the stuff Joel was talking about week in, week out.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the funny thing is, it was how they talked about Dylan and Shedeur were as if they were polar opposites, right? Dylan's mastered the ins and outs of getting out of the huddle and making his pre-draft checks and reads and sliding the protection, and Shedeur's not ready. The problem is, those are the things I think you can coach into a player.
Right.
And the thing you cannot coach into a player is, hey, I'm going to make this 30-yard throw.
And one is way more valuable to me than the other, you know? Like, I mean, making the 30-yard throw is something that you can't teach that for people. That's not something that can, all of a sudden, a couple film sessions, all of a sudden, Dylan Gabriel's got that in his bag. Like, that's not how it works. And so, I don't want to discredit the idea that so many people just think that this is the obvious thing that was always going to happen because rookies are supposed to get better as weeks go on and supposed to show this and show that. No. This is important that he was able to not only showcase what he could do, but showcase what they wanted him to do too. That there's a coachability attached to that.
And how soon he was able to do it.
Yes. Like, yeah, picks up on it so easily.
Like this was the whole, he shouldn't play this year, he's a project. Guys, if he can do this in these six games, think of where you would have been able to get him with the same opportunities afforded to Dylan Gabriel earlier this year.
Which is funny, because I don't think that's why it was not an accident that ahead of the Raiders game, he was even wondering aloud, what would happen if I had a full off season? If I had a full off season to do this and to do that? Because I think he knows it as well. He's a quick learner. He's very coachable, and he's going to be able to figure some things out.
So we threw out the names, Geno Smith, some cross between Geno Smith and Kirk Cousins in terms of what I think as of today. And Shedeur, by the way, guys, ceilings are imperfect. Shedeur could prove me wrong. Shedeur could be better than the quarterbacks I'm talking about. He could be worse than the quarterbacks. But so far in what I see, I think some cross between Geno Smith and Kirk Cousins, and I think you can have a good 5 to 10 year run with that kind of quarterback and build into the next level of success where you can sustain success. Where the Browns, I think, they just pulled the plug on the Baker thing too early is, okay, we got an 11-win season, now we need to win a Super Bowl. It's like, I love that mentality. That eagerness is something mm-hmm. that is commendable as opposed to maybe never taking your shot. Yeah, but you were coming off being the worst organization in football, but even before the Haslams got here. So you just need to stabilize this thing and win a bunch of games and truly change the culture in that building. That only happens if you're consistently in the playoff peripheral, right? So I think Shedeur at the very least can do that. You mentioned Trevor Lawrence. I think it was Grass and Bass on the 92.3 The Fan YouTube chat.
Get him tested too.
Yeah, he's definitely not in the Jeff Phelps, Peter Lynn. On 92.3 The Peas?
Now we're calling 92.3 The Peas?
Yeah, because Peter Lynn and Phelps.
Jeez.
What? Because your names both have.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
about 92.3 the JPs?
Oh, I'm glad you said. I thought you were going to say 92.3 the PPs, is what I thought you were going
to
say.
Do you want to be the 92.3 the PPs?
No, but 92.3 the JPs wasn't bad. That one wasn't
giving
bad.
Giving him ideas.
That wasn't
glad
bad at all.
You didn't hit the Powerball a week ago.
That wasn't bad at all.
Just some yokel in Arkansas.
No, there's no flow to it. It sucks.
Grass and Bass saying Brock Purdy. He needs to be Brock Purdy.
That's great. If Brock Purdy can look at what Brock Purdy just did on Sunday night against Chicago. Look at what he's doing right now. Like it's a funny thing that Grass and Bass says that because I was thinking about that earlier today. That idea. I think Brock Purdy won. We talk about winning the lottery. I think he won the football lottery. I think being with Shanahan and being in the setup that he has, I think there's so many things that have made that right. But on Sunday night, they won that game because of Purdy. Like, he did a lot of things that people over the recent couple years suggested that he couldn't be the reason why they're actually winning these games. And if that's who Shador ends up being, by the way, an EPA darling, Purdy's led EPA for how many years out of the previous three? He's always at the top right of those composites that pop up, whether you do any advanced analytics. Like, if you're Purdy, there's nothing to be shamed about being Brock Purdy.
And what I think is interesting, even though I think Brock is more limited than the quarterbacks I talked about, like I think Cousins and Geno Smith at their zenith are better quarterbacks than Brock Purdy is. Like, physically, I'm talking. There's all this being said. Put the tape on from Brock today and put him back from where he was as a rookie. And again, he walked into the perfect situation.
It's a perfect McCaffrey situation.
He had Debo. He had Kyle Shanahan and Kittle. And at that point, that offensive line was still screaming and the defense was great, right? So he walked into the best scenario. Shador probably walked into the worst scenario you could with 7 games to go in the season. But the stats might look similar from those 7 games for Brock to now. The tape looks different. He has evolved as a quarterback, and I think that, to me, that's one thing, one feather in the cap I will give Brock Purdy is that dude's maxed out his talent on every level, and I think he's a better quarterback now than he was as a rookie. That's all I want for Shador.
Well, he's also played in a Super Bowl and 2 NFC title games. So if you tell me he becomes Brock Purdy and we're playing in a Super Bowl and 2 AFC title games, who's got a problem with that?
Well, but I think this is the thing that when you have proper support around you, and we can debate whether Kevin's the proper support head coach or Tommy Reese's and Bill Musgrave, and he does need better receivers and he does need a better offensive line. They need to keep that defense where it is right now. All of these things, we can all have a conversation about how you do that. But if you're a guy in that scenario, like Brock Purdy in other scenarios, doesn't grow to be the guy he is today and probably doesn't play the way he did in those first 7 games in that Super Bowl run because he's not surrounded by things. The more you play in a good environment, the better you do grow into being as a quarterback, the better chance you have at maximizing your talent.
Right.
I think it's ironic because Baker still had a lot of turnover with injuries and coordinators. I don't think it's a coincidence that Baker just playing within the same system, even with different play callers, but with Mike Evans, with Godwin, with at points a good offensive line, with the same head coach, I don't think it's a coincidence Baker has, I know it's a bad time to say anything nice about Baker, but been a really good quarterback in the 3 years in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, and this is the environmental side of quarterbacking that we just don't talk enough about, or we don't really want to discuss because we think everyone's built like Josh Allen is right now, where he has to be Superman and put on the cape every single week, and if not, they're just going to struggle. Or what Patrick Mahomes has had to be in the past couple years. The reality is that if you're not Mahomes, if you're not Allen, if you're not even Lamar or Joe Burrow, you need some help, and even Joe Burrow needs help. Like some of these guys need help consistently.
Your boy Corn Lito saying Brock can read defenses.
Drop those corns.
You gonna take that from Corn Lito?
Is Corn Lito talking crap? Is that what that is?
He's not a Shador guy. Does not believe in him.
Really?
Yeah.
Doesn't surprise me.
By the way,
surprising news you've told me all year.
Did you miss Shador reading the linebackers in Pittsburgh this last week and throwing the perfect back shoulder throw?
He was changing coverages. He was doing all sorts of stuff.
But again, this to me is why, this is where the commentary on players can be really, really frustrating, because if you actually watch Shador, there's real legitimate growth in the pocket and with reading defenses. Is he perfect to this point? No, there's still guys open. Guys, I watched Matt Stafford leave guys open yesterday.
Well, one of the main criticisms that I thought Romo had of Shador in this weekend was the idea that when he was reading the defenses, sometimes he was reading the wrong side of the field first, right? Mm-hmm. He was going to the left side instead of the right side.
And then that was jacking up his feet.
And things happen better when you go to the right side first and you work your way that way, like the opposite of reading a book, right? But the start of that, though, is what? Is the idea that he's reading these defenses and he's able to do so. It's just he's got to pick out the right side first, but he'll get there. That's fine.
Well, but again, like that backside throw, I can't remember. Was it Bond? I think it was Bond, but he was throwing over the linebackers who had set in the middle of the field. He was not doing that 3 weeks ago. And I think that's where, like, oh, he can't read defenses. Cool. You haven't watched him play in 3 weeks then. Because there are evidences. And that's, like, I know nobody wants to hear this because this gets called a silver lining, and I think it's so disingenuous when we do this. Or maybe it just speaks to your ignorance. There was no way this kid was going to come out and light the football world up with where the offense was when he took over, the time of year he took over, the way the franchise has been going the last 2 years. The best you were going to get was glimpses. The best you were going to get is, do I see growth? Do I?
When you make that case, people just say you're making excuses.
No, 100. But again, they're wrong.
It drives me insane.
What growth portrays in a small sample size, and I know this is tough for people to hear. 7 games is a small sample size, guys. You were never going to get the definitive. The only thing you get with 7 games is a definitive no. If it's anything other than a definitive no, then it becomes beauty's in the eye of the beholder. Because 7 games just isn't enough to say franchise quarterback, not. 3 years for some guys, for first round picks, number one picks. Are we year 5 with Trevor Lawrence? And now people think he might be a franchise. He's still not great, by the way. He's still okay.
But I like Trevor Lawrence.
But he's okay. But I think he was a prodigal son, and they kind of just turned out to be okay. That's fine.
They've won. I don't want to get a fight with Trevor Lawrence with you now.
Like you are
4,000 yards passing.
Because if you see growth in a bad situation in a small sample size, you can start to do things of get him a number one wide receiver, get him his Jamar Chase, get him his Trent Williams, and then talk to me later. You can do that, and it's not excuses, it's not wishes, hope, and dreams, it's not cope, it's not whatever the hell you want to say it. This is how the NFL operates with every quarterback that they throw out there. Every starting quarterback is evaluated. Am I seeing growth?
The difference is now is that because you bring up like Lawrence having 5 years to basically try to figure it out, and he's had success along the way here and there. But the reality is that they don't give you 5 years now. No. They don't give you even 3 years. That used to be the standard. The standard was always 3 years. Now the common thought across the NFL is by Thanksgiving of year 2, they know what you are as a quarterback.
Yep.
Like these things, they move these things up. Whether it's a fifth rounder or a first rounder, they move these things up like crazy. Doesn't matter who you are.
And by the way, I saw Dylan Gabriel in 6 games not get any better in his performance. He still was leaving guys the same kind of plays. He was missing in the Miami game I hammered him for.
Yeah.
He was missing in that last game.
But you mentioned glimpses, though, and I think it's important to talk about because, like Cam Ward, for instance, the Titans fans are thrilled. Why? He had that one throw on Sunday where he left his feet, and he almost looks like Derek Jeter diving in the hole and then trying to make a throw. It was Mahomes-esque is what it was. It's a play that Mahomes makes consistently that nobody else across the NFL seems to. And that play alone, it had Titans fans losing their mind. You know, you're going for the glimpses. At this part, that's all you really get to latch onto and hang on to. And you can shove the EPA and all the interceptions and everything else. Just shove it in the corner for a second, play for the glimpses, and then build off of that.
Also, just one more time. I'm saying he can be across his ceiling, as of right now, somewhere between Geno Smith and Kirk Cousins. If you think that's glaze, I don't think you've had a glazed ham before. I'm just going to say, if you think that's glaze.
You need to stop to Krispy Kreme. Is that what you're saying? Get some glaze?
I would say more Krispy Kreme. I would say the only way out is through.
I haven't had one in a while.
You haven't lived.
It's been a long while. We used to live off Krispy Kreme.
Anybody out there want to bring in 12... I would like 6 angel food cake, the chocolate donuts, and then 6 glazed, and let them be hot.
Hot take on that. If somebody brought it in, I don't think I would touch it. Not because of the dieting side of things. Krispy Kremes are great for like a 5-minute window. You got 5 minutes to play with Krispy Kremes. Then they're not as warm. They lose the essence. They lose their Krispy Kreme-ness.
I think you've lost your essence. How dare you? John Fanta, NBC Sports in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Does he still want that ass of Kevin Stefanski? Does he still want him fired? NBC Sports, he's a professional broadcaster, Cleveland's own, proud young man, proud father here, John Fanta, joining us. What's up, buddy?
What is happening, guys? Happy holidays, everybody. And to three-win Wilson, it's three wins no more, my friend.
I'm still winning our burger bet. And your skullduggery, hey, by the way, people need to know that what John tried to pull this weekend, JP, you can speak to this.
Yeah, it was not a great move.
No.
It was tough look there, Fanta.
Hey, Mac Robinson's a proud St. Ignatius grad. Very, very intelligent person there. One of my good friends. Mac, can you riddle me this? Is the number five closer to six or closer to three?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from five a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcast.
I would say that's closer to six, John.
Perfect. So then with that in mind, Mac Robinson is the referee. If the Cleveland
no,
Browns
he's not.
Win Sunday...
No.
He's not. Who made him the referee? So wait. Hold on. What in the college basketball is going on right now?
Yeah,
you just want to make up your own referee?
This is some tricky Rick Pitino
stuff
right here.
You're assigning your own referee
to
your own
case?
I'm about to
buy you some chicken parm and shut
you
up. I
wonder why Calipari's going off all the time now.
Pin him. I just pinned Wilson. Thank you, Matt.
You didn't pin me.
Count.
It wasn't
no, you
even.
Changed
it wasn't even
the bet.
It wasn't even the bet.
The bet was: are the Browns going to win five or less games, or six or more games? You took six
no,
or more.
It was not.
Yes,
it
it's an over-under.
Not.
That's
was...
how the bet works, John. For the love of God.
Well, hold on. Now I'm being thrown off. I thought it was whether or not. I thought it was. I thought you wanted six or more games, Fanta.
The bet is on the line Sunday.
No, it's not. That's not how this bet worked.
Only Sunday.
The first time you tried to jimmy out of the bet and tried some nasty work, I gave you the Peterlin pass. Not today, Fanta.
The Peterlin pass.
It's the Battle of Ohio and the battle between Wilson and Fanta.
I think it's the battle of you BSing and trying to get something out of me you haven't earned. I expected more. Ignatius, revoke this man's diploma. He is doing dirty work
his
here.
His college diploma would supersede it anyway. I think he'd be all right.
I got to take that away, too. You lose the whole thing, Fanta, because you just wouldn't buy me a burger.
That's tough.
Unbelievable. You really want your hamburger.
No, sir.
It's not. It's never been about the hamburger,
no,
John. You have to
this
know
this is
that.
About pride.
That is funny, though.
This is about a man sticking to his commitments. I thought that was the kind of man John Fanta was, but
I really want the voiceover guy to make a track. I mean, I will personally pay him for next Tuesday to give the result of the bet.
It's going to be I won. I've already
okay,
won
you
the
got
bet.
The Bengals on Sunday. Got it. Okay.
John, right. I've already won the bet.
Yeah,
they can win on Sunday, and I've won the bet.
No, the Browns are going for a season sweep of the Bengals because Andre Schmidt would have made the kicks this week.
I thought you were joking at first, but you seem very serious.
This is Anthony Lima. This is very unbecoming.
I'm 100% serious that the bet is on the line Sunday on the Fan.
No,
five
it's not.
It's still under six. I'm so confused as to why you think you're right here.
You've got Shedeur Sanders as Geno Smith.
I don't. Nick
no,
does.
No. I said a cross between Geno Smith and Kirk Cousins. It's not a literal comp.
That's the problem with the comps is that people get mad about all the comps that you throw out a comp that's even a compliment.
No, I don't mind Trevor Lawrence. I mean, with Trevor Lawrence, I don't mind.
All right, good.
I mean, I just hope that we see, like, it's now moving on to serious talk.
Yeah.
I just hope that we see real progress and turning into a guy that you could, like, if I come out of next year and say, you know what, there's something in there that says he can turn into, you know, and the jury's still out on like a Jaden Daniels, but that he could turn into a franchise quarterback and be a franchise quarterback. I'm not saying Caleb Williams, but with the right tools in the box, anybody can look better than a Geno Smith or a Kirk Cousins. Like that's what everything in the NFL is situational too. Like we've never talked about Trevor Lawrence and what's possible for the Jags in the playoffs. Like we're talking about it right now. Different things happen. They made the right hire. You know, what will Shador look like with better pieces? I would hope better pieces and more experienced pieces. For sure more experience, because a lot of the pieces that he's going to right now are rookies who have all turned out to be pretty special, and that's encouraging. Like, there's a lot. I was really happy on Sunday because we saw this team fight and earn a win against a bitter rival, and you spoil their hopes. It was a extra Christmas gift out of the tree. And I just, like, remember we talked 4 or 5 weeks ago about how fun it is to still watch this team with the young talent. I got to commend Carson Schwechinger. What a rookie year. What a fight about that guy. On the Gets Us meter right now, he's at a high in Cleveland, Ohio. The Schwechinger jerseys are going to happen. If you haven't bought them yet, what are you waiting for? This guy's going to be with this franchise, I think, a long, long time, making plays, making tackles. God, I hope so. That was gritty. That was Cleveland Browns football. It wasn't pretty always. Yeah, there's flaws. Yeah, there's things we could nitpick. But beating the Steelers is always a great thing, and that was a heck of a win on Sunday.
You know what I'm sensing there, Peterlin?
What's that?
I'm sensing the Fanta flip-flop on Kevin Stefanski.
I don't think it's happening.
I'm not flip-flopping. You know, I did think to myself when he was running off the field that if that's the last moment for him, it was an appropriate moment. And his best stat is that he's beaten the Steelers in Cleveland quite a bit. And, you know, has only taken one loss to them in the home confines. And I don't care who the Steelers quarterback is. I know Mike Tomlin's on the other side of that. And, you know, beating the Steelers is really important. There's just been so many things that have not gone correctly. And there's also things on Sunday. Like, I didn't get, you know, they went for it on, what, a 4th-and-7. And you're just sitting there and you're just like, they're not going to convert this, Kevin. And Schmidt has shown that he can make these kicks. What's going on here? You know, so there's still things in game that just say to me, what's happened to his fastball? Because, you know, there's going to be, I'm sure you guys are going to at least spend one day talking about this because, you know, the season ends and there's a lot to digest. But, like, it wasn't all terrible. This head coach hasn't been all terrible. I don't think he should be back. You know, his era had some good times in it. It's just he has held this team back from me winning the bet that we've been talking about and joking about, because I think that they could have at least 2 wins that have been costed by some really poor in-game decision-making. And when you have a young team, the decision-making gets amplified. So I'm not flip-flopping on Kevin. I still think a change is needed as head coach, because I go off the record. I think they've got a hard – I think that they are pondering it. You know, I'm sure that there's a piece of the owner who really likes Kevin and likes the fact that he can control Kevin to the degree that he does. I mean, it is clear – Stefanski lets the people that are above him totally control that joystick. And not every head coach is going to be as giving to that. They're just not. There's been many times where you two and I have said, why won't he just give us a real answer? Well, it's because he works for people that he, I don't know if he's afraid of them, but he's afraid to ruffle any feathers. He's always been that way.
Is getting Miles one more sack the most important thing this weekend?
100%. Well, 100% get this sack. The Steelers were more concerned about him getting that sack than they were about winning the game. I mean, if you're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, you have to be sick to your stomach of Sunday. And that's what was enjoyable about it as a Cleveland fan, is that now you head into Sunday, all the pressure's on you. What, you're going to lose out to the Browns and the Ravens? It was jarring how much they were just chipping in. And I mean, I don't blame them, but it really played a part in losing them the game, because they're just so focused on him not getting that record. Whatever, AFC North, personal, all that. He's getting that record Sunday. He might get in on the first drive. It is the most important thing. You know, Myles Garrett, the season that he's had, the player that he is, you relish it, you cherish it. It's been fun to watch and special, and I hope to God he achieves history on Sunday, and the Cleveland Browns have a place in NFL history. One of their own has a place in NFL history with a single-season sacks record. That is the most important thing Sunday. And if you're a Browns fan out there, have an extra Christmas day already, you should celebrate accordingly when he gets that sack.
All right, John, you've said changes are needed. Give me your plan. Yes. What do they do with Barry? Who's the head coach? And what does quarterback look like in 2026 for the Browns?
Okay, well, we'll start with the most important thing, and that is, you know, the quarterback situation. Shedeur Sanders competing with a veteran. Now, I don't know, you know, who I don't have somebody today that I'm saying they got to get this guy. And too often over the years, it's been, well, you know, could they get Kirk Cousins, or who are they going to get? What are they going to get? Like, I don't sit here today and say they have to get this veteran. I just want to see them. I don't want to see them draft somebody in the first round. They have too many other needs. So that would be the first thing that I take a hard look at. Look, in terms of the coach, I think you have to move on from the coach. I think you have to take a look at a couple of different guys that have stood out to me, Clint Kubiak being one of them in Seattle. You know, I think you could look at Joe Brady, the offensive coordinator of the Bills. I would go offense on this search. I would try my best to keep a Jim Schwartz, but I would look at Kubiak. I would look at Joe Brady. I don't think that John Gruden will be realistic. You know, you wonder with – I just am curious. I'm not saying he's the next head coach of the Browns, but you wonder with the Chiefs and, you know, the way that next year's stacking up, what Matt Nagy could do there. I know that there's been a lot of buzz around Vance Joseph and Chris Shula and Jeff Hafley, these defensive guys. To me, it makes sense for the Browns to get their guy that can match up with Shedeur and grow him as a quarterback. And if Shedeur doesn't pan out, like, look, there's a world where it just doesn't work, guys. He's gotten a lot of opportunity. He's going to continue to get opportunity, and he's going to have a real shot, perhaps the best shot, to be the starter in week one, because he presents the most upside right now for this organization. Like, did he make some bad throws on Sunday? Yes. Did he make a horrible throw on Sunday? 100%. But he has an inside track at this job heading into next year, because he's shown some good things in an offense that doesn't have a lot of talent. So I would go offense. I think you got to look at Brady. I think you got to look at Clint Kubiak and the job that he's done in Seattle. I mean, I am so impressed by the Seahawks. I can't say enough about their staff and their people in there. There's something there, guys. And I think, you know, you look at a Coach Johnson and what the Chicago Bears have become. If you go and get that guy who can make a Sam Darnold look as good as he can, and Jaxon Smith-Njigba, like, that's why I'm fascinated by Kubiak and the potential there. Barry, I think Andrew Barry will be back in some capacity. I think it's interesting, some of the reporting around, you know, other people that they're talking to. I think you're going to see some sort of a shakeup. I would reset this whole thing, but there's a suspicion to me, and my gut says Andrew Barry will still be around making key decisions for the Cleveland Browns.
John, strong stuff. I swear to you, if you chintz on our bet or try to, I'm going straight to the Chicago Pope. I'm taking it to the highest annals of the Catholic Church because as a lapsed Catholic, I will promise to come back into the fold if the Chicago Pope delegates this and finally puts you in your place.
And Fanta, the Pope used to eat dinner at my next-door neighbor's house when I was growing up.
As so a person that groomed JP.
We have some connections there, and so we have to use them.
You're acting like that helped you. We don't know who your next-door neighbor is.
It's Grammy Pat.
Mama Pat.
Yeah, she groomed Jonathan.
Mama Pat. Now, Nick thinks that I had a relationship with her as a young boy that shaped my childhood. I swear it didn't happen,
though.
Shaped
her elder years, too.
She thought I was going to be a priest growing up there, John. She thought I was headed for priesthood.
So he gave her the sacrament.
Lord Almighty, you two should be going to church right after this show, because some of the references that you just made there, I thought this was a family program at 3:56 in the afternoon. Now I'm learning.
He helped her praise God, John.
Yeah. I'm learning that Jonathan Peterlin did take health class at the age of 11. All right, guys. Have a great day.
All right, John. Don't chintz on that bet. Don't be that guy.
Yeah, these are Cleveland prices, not New York prices. Yeah. You can afford these.
Yeah. Take me down the road. They put brown sugar in their burgers. They're really delicious. great stuff with Fan to worry on to what he had to say and his plan going forward on 92.3 The Fan.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.